You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Once upon a time, there was a couple and a newborn baby. Or should I say, a single mum. This brave young lady left her 9-to-5 job to follow her passion and started a consulting business. Her friends helped out. She travelled the world, met new people, and again came home. The woman dated to find a man who would fill her life and fit her plan. She met a guy who checked out ladies. That burned her up. That made her crazy. Other guys were full of verve. Into their self. No room for her. And one time she met a man with patch over eye and axe in hand. Then one day she had enough. Her little boy was all grown up. Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about online dating, a whole...
How does this work?
How does it work? Does it work? Is it good? Is it not good? What are people's attitudes?
You find crazy people?
If you want.
If you are.
Yeah, actually, if everyone remembers, we did meet... online.
Really?
At the grocery store. No. Yeah, we met on one of the websites, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Russian brides.
Years ago.
No, it wasn't. It was many, many years ago. Just before the internet was invented, I think. I'm sorry, just after it was. Al Gore introduced us to each other. Anyway, so what we want to talk about is, one, let's start with attitudes towards online dating. Survey says that 30% of U.S. adults say they have used a dating site in order to try to meet people. But even though 30% said they've used, it turns out that only 23% have actually met somebody.
Okay.
And fewer have actually dated, leading to marriage. So 12% of people who... 12% have responded that they met their spouse, their significant other, through online dating. So it's not as prevalent as I thought it was. I thought with 30% using it that, you know, you'd have like a third of people meeting their
partner. Will work, yeah.
So it's not working in that way. So what's interesting, well, it's always interesting, but what do you think people's responses to, hey, was this good, was this bad, was it easy, was it difficult? So let's look at, first of all, older and younger men, older and younger women. Who would find the most trouble on trying to date online?
I don't know. What is the data say?
Well, you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Women are harassed much more by not only men, but by scammers.
Yeah, that's right.
So younger women especially, we'll talk about how many, not how many, but the like percentage and how frequently that is. But women have had men send, or people who we don't even know if it's men or some kind of artificial intelligence computer just going out and trying to scam people, and we think it's people. And people, oh, that's another one. People who say that they're somebody that they're not.
Mm-hmm.
sending unsolicited pictures, unwanted pictures, contact after you say you don't want any more contact. Not only that, but being called offensive names. So people who lash out, you know, they try to put on a good show, they want to hook up, they want to date, and then when you don't want to, suddenly all the curses in the world come out. They're harassing, almost stalking. And so women have that experience more so than men.
Okay.
Which is kind of like real life, right? So it reflects real life. So again, 3 in 10 Americans have used an online dating site or app, with 12% have married or been in a very committed relationship.
So it's a risky game. You can win or you lose.
You can. So the next thing I want to talk about on this whole thing is, here we go. This is just statistics again on finding a partner through a website. It's risky, but is it any more risky than just meeting somebody walking down the street or at a baseball game or a bar?
Risk, yeah.
Well, the only I guess thing is, if you meet somebody in your neighborhood that you actually know is a neighbor, and they know other people in the neighborhood, they're real.
Is that real person?
It's a real person.
It's no Sony Scanning or the country.
Might not be good nor bad. Another thing we wanted to speak about, and we'll go back into that in a minute, but these websites, what is the best matchmaking website out there?
Who knows?
Actually, the survey doesn't say that. I just decided that I was going to specifically look at one in particular. And the reason being is that it has touted itself as, you know, the focusing on the dimensions of love to match people so you have the most compatibility. And they have conducted research and have scientists or psychologists on staff to determine, you know, these are the areas. And if you've heard of this, the 29 or 32 dimensions of matchmaking, we're talking about a company by the name of eHarmony. Not saying whether it's good nor bad, but we have some considerations that we want to discuss with our wonderful audience. So what are these 29 dimensions of compatibility they talk about? We want to talk about them and see, does this make sense from
our
perspective? Our perspective. Because, of course, we're right in our own view. Right? Our views are correct according to us. You may have other views. We hope you do. So the first one is emotional temperament. And if we remember the other week, we were talking about personality.
Mm-hmm.
And emotional temperament seems to fit with neuroticism. How is your temper? How even keeled you are? You know that expression, even keeled, for a sailboat. You know, the sailboat, the keel on the sailboat keeps it upright. So how upright is that person's personality without swaying one way? You know, every time the wind blows, going back and forth between happy and sad, or having emotions that do not match the given situation. So temperament seems to be, from my standpoint, at least an indication of a personality trait that's important.
Yeah.
So they talk about self-concept, emotional status, self-concept, how you perceive yourself. Now, we were just talking about this upstairs before coming down into our studio.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with how you see yourself?
It's not wrong. It's the way that you see yourself. Sometimes it's different than people see you.
We were thinking about this and talking about this a little bit, and I had stated to Lizette, it doesn't even matter what you think about yourself. Our concept of ourself is based upon our perspective of ourself. We can go to a relationship thinking we're a certain way, but they will view us how they view us. That person will.
Yeah. They all filter the people have.
They will view us probably similarly to how others view us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So who's a more, not important, more objective judge of character? Ourselves or other people?
Neither.
Everyone is subjective, yeah. But if you're at an office and you're pretty open and communicate well with other people, they will have a view of you, mm-hmm. that may be different than your view of yourself. Or if you know a whole bunch of people from the last 10 years or 20 years, their friends and family, relatives, coworkers, they all could get together, create a survey, and give an outside perspective on you. Now, there'll be different things that you do in front of coworkers versus friends and compared to family as well. But generally speaking, they'll paint a big picture, a broad picture of how others view you. So, when you go into a relationship, what's more important? How you view yourself or how others view you for compatibility?
So the best reference, the people dating somebody, is see how the friend and family see you, because this other external party provide information more objective.
So there's a whole bunch of people who study you every day. Mm-hmm. They see what you are. They see how you act. For me, I'll just say, oh, I think I'm introverted. Mm-hmm. That I don't like really reacting with people that much. Mm-hmm. I just want to stay in my own head. But then I get in front of people and they're like, oh, you're such an extrovert. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My 15 minutes of fame. Mm-hmm. That's how you think. Like, I think I'm an engineer scientist guy.
Timid
guy.
Mm-hmm. Not talking. Okay.
But our self-concept is very important for how we feel about ourselves. Absolutely. And that being one of these things that is one of the dimensions of who we are and how we'll fit with someone else. While it's important, it really is how others view us generally tends to be how someone else will view us. So again, when we are filling out a personality profile and we're like, oh, I'm studious and I'm this and I'm that. Oh, I'm a hard worker, but you actually don't show up to work until 5 minutes after the hour. Maybe you think you're a hard worker, but others see you not working as hard as they do. The point is that others, their perspective of you is more likely how someone else will see you than how you see yourself. You may shield some of that, mm-hmm. right? You may shield that type of behavior from some people, meaning how you would be in an intimate relationship doesn't necessarily correlate to how you are in business relationships, or if you're on a sporting team, we do isolate our person. We have multiple personalities. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yes.
Right? So depending on the situation. Mm-hmm. If you're on a sports team and you're being really competitive, you may act some way. If you're in the middle of a presentation in front of a group of people from your industry, you might act a little bit differently. And if you're on a date with somebody and you're looking for creating long-term plans with that person, you may act differently and you may isolate those things because we may trigger those isolated responses.
Yeah.
But why are we talking about all these things? Is that sometimes knowing ourselves is really important, but also knowing how others view us is just as important, especially for matchmaking. When you're trying to find somebody who matches with you, you have to see how others view you.
So you need to do like the product in Amazon. So the review of this person.
I've got 2.3 stars.
Yeah.
But 4 stars on never call him again. Wait,
and,
no.
I pay for review.
I got product for free for this review.
I like that. I started to looking for people.
That would be good. Mm-hmm. Why don't we create an Amazon rating system for dating? Mm-hmm. An Amazon dating review.
Yeah. So I call your ex-wife please review this guy.
5 stars. I get 5 stars. The only problem, it's out of 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so, go to the point.
Yeah, we'll get back to the point. In any case, we're going to get back to more emotional dimensions of personality when we come back after this break on 90 Day Soulmate. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate.
With Jim.
And Lizette. During the break, we were busy rating each other, and so now we've got our reviews posted to Amazon.
Yeah.
So just remember, we're looking for 5 more free free reviews.
We give a book if you review ours.
Actually, if you do get a book, one of those, or While Victoria Dreams, which we do show periodically, Why Victoria Dreams, a nice romantic comedy based upon all real life stories of
fiction history.
Non-fiction. Fictionalized non-fiction. It's a little bit exaggerated. And then 90 Day Soulmate. These are on Amazon, so if you feel like taking a look at them, a gander, and giving a review, that'd be great.
If you want to write your book about that.
Okay, we haven't introduced this book yet, but...
Yeah, in one show.
Did we?
Yeah.
So this is a book, if I can get it in the right light. So we've helped a number of authors write books in order to get themselves published. And as a process for doing that, we created a book called Right Now, which kind of can carry you through, and I'm going to try to get that in proper light, can carry you through the writing process and how to get a book from your head to printed and on Amazon so it can be read in as little as 90 days. So we love writing interesting books that have to do with our life and the lives of people around us. Mm-hmm. So getting back to the dimensions, I'm going to get back to personality. Let's go back to neuroticism, or as the study shows, or the research. This was a research paper that was done on the dimensions, emotional temperament. We talked about self-concept, how you view yourself. Emotional status. Okay. So, 1, addiction of any kind.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
That's if you have an addiction of any kind, or if the person that you are starting to have a relationship has an addiction of any kind, I guess that's from drugs to sex to sleep.
To social media.
Mm-hmm. That you're looking for people that have solid emotional stability. And you're looking to have solid emotional stability, or social stability, which means, actually, that's a great thing. If you meet somebody and you are able to look at their Facebook page, if they're LinkedIn, wherever they are, if you're able to look at that and you're able to see their friends and their posts and how they interact with people, are they argumentative, are they supportive, are they loving, are they putting hearts everywhere, but they never comment, so they're not really interacting. You know, you can tell something about someone that way.
Some source of information, yeah.
And if they're not willing to share that with you, or if their profile's only been created 7 days ago.
Yeah, that's suspicious.
Yeah. They've got 6 different profiles, all for a different state.
Yeah.
You know, all different relationship statuses. That's something to worry about. So,
or zero social media.
Zero social media. Friends. No friends? Really? No social media.
No digital print. Yeah.
They're in the witness protection program. Yeah, that's a difficult one. Don't date people in the witness protection program. Well, it worked for us.
Please.
All right. Emotional energy. How energized your temperament is. So it could be when you are sad, how sad do you get? When you're happy, how happy do you get? It's how far, and we were talking about the sailboat. You know, are you relatively even? You get a little happy, you get a little sad, or you get really happy and like, oh, this is the best thing yet. And then when something's sad, you just can't get out of bed for 3 days. You're devastated. So the evenness you know, there are extremes. Like, for me, I really appreciate Lizette because she's very emotionally stable. She has not, she actually has a more, like, so she'll sway to the fun side, but not really go too much to the sad side. So she's pretty evenly keeled a little bit to the fun side. Whereas there have been other people that I've either dated or known that, you know, they'll be really fun when you're with them and you're having fun, but something will happen. They'll act in a way that I just can't relate to.
Yeah.
You know, you have people like that?
Yeah. I have a friend and she's so funny and you enjoy so much, but she's my friend for maybe 30 years.
Yeah.
And there's some moment she flapping to the other side and she becomes sad and crazy and upset, for example. Oh my gosh, yes.
So we have another thing for you out there, which is this I think is a really good concept. It's very difficult when you're starting to date somebody for you to employ this strategy. But the strategy is seeing how this person reacts with their family, their friends, in social situations and also a little bit stressful situation. Last week we talked about how stress can bring out the real personality of somebody.
Yeah.
So when you're dating somebody in isolation, you know, oh, I wait all week and we're going to go to a movie together. We wait all week, we're going to go to a restaurant together. Wait all week and we're going to hook up in my apartment together. But you're only with that person. Their personality can be controlled because they may be a very controlling person in that environment and be able to handle. I'm sure we all do that to some effect or to some amount.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to understand and learn about somebody in isolation. But when you are, or if you are able to see how they react to their family, to their friends, in situations where maybe there's a little argument, maybe the car won't start, you know, something that happens and you see someone's friends, family, acquaintances are a very good reflection of that person, because people have two things when they grow up, right? Their DNA and their environment. So personality a lot comes from your family. One, from the DNA. You know, we talk about evolution. This is a lot of personality comes from family. And the training you get as a child growing up in that family or whoever your guardians are, and your friends. Those are the two biggest things. And so you'll hear motivational speakers on TV or the YouTube or the YouTube. It's my new expression.
Mm-hmm.
On the Facebook.
And the podcast.
On the podcast.
You'll hear
people like us say, but that if you personally want to change your direction, you need to have friends and acquaintances in the direction you want to be. If you are trying to go back to school, go back to college and get a degree, but you're hanging out with other people who don't want you to do that or don't do that themselves, it makes it more difficult. If you can find a few friends who are going through that same thing together, you know, went back to school, went to get more classes, and you can start to be with them, it helps you get to that next place because you're now with people who are like you. Why we say this is important is that if you understand that, then you'll understand that if you are meeting somebody, you may not get to understand their personality, but if you see who their friends are and you go, this person is a sum total of their friends' personalities, if they're with a bunch of friends who are always acting rude to each other, well, that person probably at some point in time is going to start acting rude to you. It might not be on the first date.
Yeah, so this is important that when you start to dating somebody, please. Is it typical when you have a travel to 1 week vacation with family?
Right.
You got a lot of information.
So this is the tough part, because when we first meet somebody, we don't want to introduce them to our family, or we don't want to meet their family. it's almost the opposite in a way. It's like you want to meet their family because you're going to be able to tell right away, are they are they a good person?
Yeah, and you don't waste your time with best a feeling in somebody that is hurt to break up later.
So you meet somebody, you sit down at the table, and you say, you know what? Let's go meet your family right after this.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
This is my checklist.
Well, two things. One is, like, if you want open, honest communication, one is that that's where, like, the Facebook and the social media and the Instagram, all those, is that being able to see what they're posting, who they're friends with, how their communication goes, and, you know, what their relationships are like with close family and friends. When you can see that, it really paints a good picture.
Yeah.
And really, going back to what we said before, is you are also a reflection of those people around you like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
So, you like that?
Yeah.
You like that?
I love
it.
So, I love it.
So, let's look at that. Okay, so we talk about being loud, romantic, or passion. Mm-hmm. Passion was a dimension that they studied. Is how passionate are you when you're in a relationship? Do you like giving and receiving notes? Oh, maybe part of that is the love language. You like being touched. You like having food. You like a note. You like someone saying, flowers. I love you, flowers. Or you just like money. Here's $20. I love you.
Two. Not 20.
Not 20? 21?
Yes.
Social style. How do you relate to other people? So we're talking a little bit about that with family and friends. But how do you relate to other people?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sociable? Are you outgoing? Or do you just like clam up? Are you part of the conversation? Or does your conversation have to change direction?
Mm-hmm.
Are you incongruent? So kindness. That's one I just saw on the Facebook today, which was someone said, it doesn't impress me how much money you have. It's how kind you are to strangers, how you treat others. And you're like, okay, being kind is good. It's like, you know, if you see somebody mean to a waiter, oh, I don't like that. Doesn't matter how much money they have. And it
depends what you want the person. So you want to buy your product? Never mind. You want to marry the person? Okay, yes.
Oh, whatever you do is fine. Here, let me sell you this.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes, we're talking about dating, not like selling at this point. The interesting thing about that, though, is that if you don't know the situation, it's sometimes difficult to judge that. And I always joke about the person was mean to a waiter or waitress, and so they're a bad person. Like, well, what if that waiter spit in someone else's food at a different table because the waiter was or waitress was racist? And then that person got angry. Oh, they weren't kind to the waiter. Yes, but they were defending someone else. Or, you know, they were making fun of an old person at a table, and then the person stood up and they were really nasty to the waiter. You know, so
it depends on the context.
Yeah. So I think the ability to get angry in the right circumstance is what has actually led to the survival of our species.
Mm-hmm.
If humans never got angry at anything, oh, they're attacking us. I guess we'll just wait to be attacked. Or they're stealing my land. They're stealing my lambs. They're stealing my avocados.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Who cares? There's plenty to go around. That anger is very important. Anger directed appropriately. Right? Anger is an emotion, and it's part of our underlying innate personality profile. That's important for our own survival. It's what led to our survival. So it's not a bad thing if it is appropriate.
You have to manage it in the right moment, right time, with the right person.
Which also goes back to, what is that called? Emotional intelligence. That's not in here. Well, it could be somehow, but
yeah, that's
emotional intelligence is really important. Is knowing when to use emotions like anger, like positiveness, like motivation, knowing when to use it in a given situation to get a better outcome for those people involved in the situation. What else do we have here? Cognitive mode, intellect, curiosity. Oh, curiosity was one. What we found when we were reading through these things, and we discussed this a little bit, when you are trying to rate yourself in these areas, who's going to say, oh, I'm not curious. I'm not a kind person. I'm a mean person.
Right? Nobody say that, yeah.
But if you said, how do others see me? If you want to be completely honest, how do others see you? Okay, they see me as a little selfish, but they also say I'm really helpful and nice, and I'm a team player, and, you know, but sometimes I'll do things for my own benefit. Okay, like, what does that mean? Well, let me ask somebody, what do you mean by that? Oh, you'll do this, it helps the company out, but it's also for your benefit. Okay, so it's helping the company, did it help you out? Yeah, it helped me out too. Okay, so it helped us all out, yes. So is that a bad thing or a good thing? Like altruism, you know altruism? Altruism, act of kindness without any benefit.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. You always get a benefit. You might just feel better about helping somebody, right?
That's his benefit.
Physicality. Mm-hmm. Physicality means, do you like to do things? Are you active? Part of that has to do also with maybe in sexual area. Are you, do you like physicalness, touching the person, not just holding hands, no public displays of affection, PDA? You know?
I don't speak English.
Relationship skills, your communication style. Emotion management, anger. We talked about that already. Mood, conflict resolution. Values and beliefs. We did talk about that because values and beliefs above all in a lot of areas, those values and beliefs will drive who you are continually. And if your values and beliefs match, maybe your personality doesn't match so much, but your values and beliefs, which drive the direction you're going in, maybe two different personalities that have an agreeable values and beliefs can accomplish a lot together.
Yeah, yeah. That's a strong area.
That is.
Yeah.
Strong area. This is something we talk about in this book, which has to do with family background. That if you want to see if you match with someone else, see if your family background is similar to theirs, because most everything that they learned when they were a child and growing up has to do with family background. And two people who have similar family backgrounds will immediately have a connection and communication closer than those with distinctly different family backgrounds. They'll misinterpret things.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I was in a family where my mom and dad argued all the time, but they loved each other. And that's what I feel like I have to have in my relationship.
Yeah.
Or you don't love me if you don't argue with me.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't argue with me, you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And you grow up in a family where my parents always got along with each other. If you argued, you must not love each other. We have a chapter in our book about that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's really important to understand family background. And for us, that's why some of these things in these dimensions where you're just talking about yourself, when it comes to family background, values, and beliefs, we believe those things are 100% good indicators of a match. We'll talk more about matches when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim
after this. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
We say that an awful lot. We just want to make sure that's each other's names because we kind of forget during the show. It's so stressful over here.
Call you John. No.
The audience out there who's watching the show in our studio. Yeah, we don't hold up any signs for clap, applause, and all that, you know, because we really want to keep them separate from what we're doing over here. Let's keep going with some of this stuff here. I want to go back to, well, I guess we got to keep going in here. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of the ability. Oh, you know what? I'll go right back to the top here. Here we go. All right. We go back to here. This. So, this was what I found important to understand. Asking men and women, different ages, different types of groups of people, if they found online dating beneficial or not. And this is what I thought was great. That online dating users, 57% said they had positive experience of using online dating apps and dating websites, where 42% said it was negative. So almost half and half, just a little bit more positive. How easy was it to find people that you were physically attracted to? So 71% said it was easy to find people they were physically attracted to. 28% said it was difficult. So I guess you can just scan a website and go, you could find people. I think it's kind of easy to find people you're physically attracted to. It's just kind of hard to have communication with them.
Oh, match.
Or a match, that's true too. This one blew my mind. Shared their hobbies and interests. Could you find people who shared your hobbies and interests? 64%, yes, I could. 35%, no. Wait a minute, there's like millions and millions and millions of people online. What are your hobbies and interests where you can't find anyone who shares them? 35% said they couldn't find people who shared their hobbies or interests.
Okay, maybe they like to play some game that other people don't like. So.
Yeah.
So unique people, baby.
Very unique. So unique that means 35%, if there's a million people online, 350,000 of them say, I can't find anyone who shares my hobbies or interests. That means there's 35% on the people online are lying. Maybe. Who knows? Seemed like somebody they wanted to meet in person. How many people found somebody online that they wanted to meet in person? And 64%, it's like the same number. 64% said, yep, I found people that I wanted to meet in person. 35% said, no, never found anyone that I wanted to meet in person. These are real. I would love to start interviewing these people who answered no and no and no. No.
So interview yourself. No.
61% said it was easy to find somebody who wanted the same kind of relationship. And 38% said no, they weren't able to find somebody who wanted the same type of relationship. This kind of blows my mind, because if it was not for, and maybe I should not be surprised. I was going to say, if it wasn't for the internet, it would be kind of hard to meet anybody. So now that you're on the internet, you're on an app, and how do you not find somebody who's looking for the same type of relationship? And if there's 38% of the people say they're not finding people that want the same type of relationship, that's weird, because actually maybe it's not weird. What if men and women, or let's just pretend it's men and women for the moment, what if men and women don't want the same type of relationship? That men want some type of relationship and women want some other type of relationship, or this person wants that type of relationship. And the reason I'm breaking it down this way is, generally speaking, is it's easy to generalize, right? So generalizing, do you think that groups, and I'm just going to use men and women because it's easy to break down the population, men and women, do you think men want a certain type of relationship and women want another type of relationship? Generally, I don't know.
Some people go to these, but really don't want to have relationship.
So the
family or friend force. So no, you have to have somebody and force to do this. But deep, did the person say, "I don't want to have," and then sabotage.
So I'm going to continue on down here. What else we got here? Men who have online dated in the past 5 years are more likely than women to say they didn't get enough messages. So, women seem to get lots of messages, and men seem to not get enough messages. Because I think still traditionally, men are expected to try to make contact, and sometimes shy men are waiting for women to contact them.
Woman is more busy than men, so
What was that? Women are more busy?
Yeah, so I have time to message the guys.
Honey, no, I'm okay. Hey, what are you doing? I'm online. What are you doing? Nothing?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's another one. A majority of online daters think that it's typical for people to lie about their backgrounds. And they do that to lie to appear more desirable. I'm taller. I weigh less. I'm better looking than my picture. I make more money than I make less money than I actually said I did. So people are lying about themselves to appear more desirable. Do you believe that?
Yes. Promotion time.
So promotion. Yes.
You have to sell your own.
People setting up fake accounts. Mm-hmm. In order to scam others. Oh my. Everywhere nowadays. Wow. People receiving sexually explicit messages or images that they didn't ask for. Sure. Mm-hmm. That happens at work now, too. Just your email, you'll get this thing. And it's like, open this attachment. It's an invoice. Don't do that. Don't click on, if you don't know the person, don't click on it. That's all I say. And if you've never had an email from that person before, or the type of email that comes in, somebody could be faking that person's name. So this stuff happens all over the place now, and it's scam for money, scam for, you know, there are people.
I don't have a lot of money from the grandmama die. I don't know what to do with this money.
Yeah, I get about every few months I get a. Now I'm getting a fax. It comes in. It's a fax. It's from the UK.
What is fax?
A fax.
it's paper.
So in the old days. There, you used to take a piece of paper and put it into a machine. It would scan it, send it over the telephone wire to another machine that would then print what you had on your paper. It's amazing, amazing.
Wow, it's magic.
Not even electronic. It doesn't use electronics, so it doesn't waste electricity. It uses paper instead.
Mm, okay.
So, it's from a lawyer in the UK that says that a great uncle of mine has an estate of $11 million. The lawyer is in charge of dispensing the money, and if I could do something, send some information to them, they'll help me get it. But the part of the scam that is, I'll just say, fantastic now, is that they use email addresses, they use websites that actually are real, that they've set up websites with multiple pages showing lawyers' pictures and showing phone numbers and showing testimony what are those called? Where clients have said...
Review.
Reviews. They have reviews. So the website has multiple pages of about us, where they were founded, location, building pictures, client testimonies, reviews, pictures of the lawyers, and they have all this there in order to verify, substantiate their scam. If they're doing that for that, I am sure they're doing it for online dating for scamming, for LinkedIn for scamming, everywhere. Everywhere scamming. Hey, wait.
Like that.
Hello? It's amazing. What else we have? So scamming we talked about. Oh, this is a big one. So again, we talked about this before. Younger women are more likely to report having negative interactions with others on these platforms. So I will say younger, attractive women are going to be targeted by all men who have in their brain like, oh, if I send a note to enough women, there's going to be somebody 30 years younger than me who's going to respond. Not all men, but there's like, the point is that I think younger women aren't sitting like real, unless they're fake. If they're a fake profile, yes, but real younger women aren't going to send a message to a older man in most situations, unless it's a scam. Most older men will send messages to younger women, and it's not a scam, but...
Yeah, the woman, too, can scam.
They can.
The cases, the woman send the picture of the guy send money, and they have a supposed relationship with a woman, but... It's just for buy pictures, sexy pictures.
Yeah.
Buy sexy pictures. Other kind of business.
Well, that's originally how we... Never mind.
I have to share my multi-level mic. Yeah.
What is it? Agway? What was that?
Yes.
Oh, vitamins. So, some of the things that... these younger women said had happened. One, continue to contact them after saying they were not interested. I'm sure that's happened mostly to women. I'm sure a few men that's happened to. that sent them sexually explicit messages and images they didn't ask for. Can you imagine that? Can't believe it.
The picture of the kitchen when you know you clean your dishes, so you want these dirty pictures.
Dirty pictures. This is my backyard. It's a mud bath.
Yeah.
Called them an offensive name. So the guy who was like, hey, how are you? Cool. Da 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 da. And then you say, no, I'm not interested. And then they start cursing at you. I think we talked about that before. And then finally, 9% of women, online dating users, had men or others online, I'm assuming men in this case, 9% threatened to physically harm them.
Explain me that.
Physically harm. Like, I don't want to hear any more from you, da 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 da, send explicit pictures, call them offensive names, and then say, I'm going to come after you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to shoot you, I'm going to burn you. And I know people who have actually had this where it's like, oh my gosh, the guy's nuts. You know, absolutely nuts. And these are not just scam guys. These are like real guys who think that they can threaten women to a point of, well, the woman's going to date me because if not, she's going to be scared. And maybe that works periodically. And the problem is it does work periodically for crazies. And it ends up in bad results.
Yeah.
Awful. Typically, this happens to... Oh, I'm sorry. Women between the ages of 18 and 34, 19% have had men threaten to physically harm them. 19%, that's huge. And 44% had offensive names called. Now, I'm sure there's a group of men online or people online that are offensive to everyone, and they're just nasty to everyone. And that's why it's not like, you know, if 19% of women are receiving this, it's not 19% of men who are doing this. It could be 2% of men, but they're out there spreading the joy of physical harm to women all across the internet. Terrible, awful. And the good news is once you hit 50, eventually, once you hit 50, only 3% and 2% of men and women get these nastyograms and
loosen the market.
Yeah, there's you know who's out there, you know that I'm guessing that the 50 plus crowd are more scammed from a standpoint of people trying to get their money, send explicit pictures, and then coerce them through blackmail. You know, I'm going to expose you to your coworkers, blah blah blah. That happens more so than physical harm, but it's just so with all the dangers of all this. A couple of things: one, reputable site where people are screened before they go on; two, people have to, and I hate to say this, have to pay to be on the site. Maybe that will help filter people. You know, three, real pictures, not just five pictures. You know, that.
No, remember that we recommend they have a video call. So
once you start meeting someone, a video call.
Because what are you, I do it also for business. So mm-hmm. You want to talk with somebody, you can say video call. No, we don't know that, so I don't make it.
It can be a scary process, but let's go back to the end result of this. If you do meet somebody, it's great for them to be local, because then they have other relationships with other people local, like family and friends, that if you are able to witness and see them in that environment, you can tell pretty quickly how their personality really is, how they treat others, and if you feel like that's the type of relationship that fits how you want to continue as you get to know each other.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. It's not that easy, but it can be. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And have a great week.
Bye.
Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions, where you can get your step-by-step, easy-to-follow, simple plug-and-play plan to take you from where you are to where you want to be in 90 days.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.